And keeping in mind that, again, back to the beginning, this is a number one claim to file both in habeas as well as motions for new trial, because it's a vehicle that you need other issues to be inside of to have them litigated in habeas. So cognizable issues, for example, like Fourth Amendment issues, trial claim issues, cannot be raised in habeas unless you raise them through a ineffective assistance of counsel claim. So too, jury charge error that in a motion for new trial, if it's unpreserved jury charge error, you're going to want to raise it inside the prism of ineffective assistance of counsel, because the case law tells us your chances for success are much, much higher in that arena than it would be if you raised jury charge error looking for egregious harm, okay? So keep in mind that this is a vehicle that you use to be successful in habeas and in motions for new trial. So let's talk about the burden of proof. Ineffective assistance of counsel is always on the applicant to show by a preponderance of the evidence to prove and to plead facts that entitle them to relief. So the burden is on the applicant, which makes prosecutors really happy in motion for new trial and habeas proceedings, and they love reminding us of that. So keep in mind, it is our burden. That burden, though, is not onerous. It's by a preponderance of the evidence, not beyond a reasonable doubt. And so that's really important when you're talking about ineffective assistance of counsel claims, because you're talking about deficient conduct that fell below an unreasonable standard by a preponderance of the evidence. You're talking about prejudice by a preponderance of the evidence. And so when your defense counsel, you need to keep that standard of review in mind, and you need to remind the court of it as well, because the burden is not as high as it was back in the trial court. So let's talk a little bit about writ investigations. Don't ever file an ineffective assistance of counsel claim without doing an investigation. In the beginning, I talked to you about how important it is to keep in mind the stigmatism associated with ineffective assistance of counsel. Well, part of that comes from this notion that there's people who would file an ineffective assistance claim that would actually accuse me of doing something wrong, but never, ever talking to me, and never doing anything more than believing what a family member said or a defendant. Don't do that. Anytime you're looking at an ineffective assistance of counsel claim, you need to do your homework. You have to look into everything that is available to you. But one of the most important things that you must do is talk to the trial lawyer. You can't file a claim without trying to talk to him. And so I say in my paper, it's like, you need to call, you need to email. And I don't mean like, oh, I left you a message and I never got in touch with you. You need to talk to somebody. You need to make the effort to get them on the phone, because they have the most important information that you need to overcome that presumption we talked about. And that is why they did or didn't do the things that they did or didn't do that's going to be the basis of your claim. Writ lawyers will tell you this. It's not personal, it's business, right? Trial lawyers will tell you this. Every trial lawyer, save one or two, is going to come at you like this. Because again, they've given everything they can to this case, to this client, who's probably ungrateful, and they feel betrayed at this point, et cetera. This is the posture within which you're calling this trial lawyer. Now, that's a scary thing to do, and nobody wants to do it. But make no mistake, if you're gonna do habeas work or you're gonna do motions for new trial, you better get ready to do it or don't do habeas work, because it's absolutely essential to your success in an ineffective assistance claim. And back to what we talked about, you know an ineffective assistance claim is going to be one of your number one claims. So even though it's difficult, you need to call the lawyer. When you call or meet with this lawyer, you need to have someone present, or you need to memorialize that communication in some way. Every Facebook communication, every email needs to be put into a pile, because you better believe you're going to likely have a writ hearing, and those things are going to be Exhibit A in that hearing. Trial lawyers who are approached initially will give you their reasons for doing and not doing the things that they did, because they honestly did the best that they could. I'm sure they didn't know one way or the other. Once you tell them what your claims are, or what they did or didn't do correctly, or when they have the benefit of hindsight or legal research, things change. And when those things change, you have a problem. Because the case law will tell you that you're entitled to review this lawyer's work based on what they knew and what their reasons were at the time that they made them, not later, not after they've done legal research and read through your writ and realized that that was jury charge error and that they should have asked for it or that they should have done something differently. So it's really, really important that you contact the lawyer, as scary as that is, and it's really, really important that you memorialize those communications in anticipation of your writ hearing. So keep calm and do your homework. Not only do you need to talk to the lawyer, which is the number one thing you must do, there is so much out there that you can get if you can't talk to the lawyer. If they say, you know what, Carmen, no way, I'm not talking to you. I'll see you at this hearing. Fine, no problem. One, court-appointed lawyers prepare vouchers that are sworn to. Those vouchers are as good as any statement you're going to get about what they did and didn't do. Because they have to put it together in that voucher, they're not going to get paid. And so you can go back and you can recreate the work that they did for the most part, as long as they put together a voucher that's, you know, reflective of the work they did. Some counties, they don't pay you, and so nobody puts together the work in a voucher of actually what occurred. And some lawyers, trial lawyers, if you're here, don't put their work in the voucher because they think they're not going to get paid. I'd tell you to put it in there because you need to protect yourself against a writ lawyer who's going to come back and question what you did or didn't do. And this is the place for you to put it in there.